My name is Flora Yifan He. I am a PhD candidate at the Brand School, and I've been working with colleagues on mining in Brazil, in the Brazilian Amazon, and how mining affects people's health, especially indigenous health. I spent some time in the Brazilian Amazon, like doing interviews with experts and indigenous leaders on this topic. And that's where I was able to go to Boa Vista, which is a capital city of Roraima, where the Yanomami Indigenous Territory is. And there I was meeting with some Yanomami Indigenous leaders, for example, David Kopanawa, who's a really famous Yanomami shaman, and he has written books and done a lot of activism to raise awareness around the issue with mining and invasion to the Yanomami territory. I also talked to a lot of health professionals who are working with SESAI, which is the Brazilian Indigenous Health Agency, and they have a special health district for the Yanomami people, and they are working really hard to address the health crisis in the territory.
How do you perceive the humanitarian crisis in Brazil, and what do you believe is the root cause of it?
It's a long story of mining and invasion in the Yanomami territory. Mining in the Amazon is nothing new, actually. Gold mining, especially like small scale artisanal gold mining, has been happening since the 70s, 80s, when the military government of Brazil opened up Amazon for like infrastructure projects and encouraged people to go to those frontiers and explore resources. Outsiders are not allowed to enter and extract natural resources. However, that territory is the size of Portugal. It's like bigger than Texas. So can you imagine like only maybe 30,000 indigenous people versus this massive territory that the government doesn't have a lot of access to, doesn't like really provide enough support to control. And to be able to evict invaders is such a difficult task. So even after the creation of the territory, illegal mining has continued in that area. During the Bolsonaro administration, 2018 and 2022, there is a reduction in funding for both the like environmental agency and the indigenous agency, as well as indigenous health agency. So those are three different federal agencies that are responsible for indigenous issues. There is IBAMA, who's supposed to like combat environmental crime. There is FUNAI, who is the major support agency for indigenous affairs. And SESAI is the indigenous health agency that is separate from the general SUS, which is a like a public health agency in Brazil.
How do you perceive the role of the government of Brazil throughout the conflict, and how would you describe the roles of the two last presidents?
So Bolsonaro really like encouraged a lot of these extractive activities in the Amazon, and he is responsible for create like reducing the capacity of most of the indigenous environmental defending agencies. He also created this sense of immunity. Like people felt that they could commit crime without being punished during his administration. I think Lula's election was a important turning point for some of these policies. So he, at the beginning of his administration, he did an emergency operation in the Yanomami territory, and the military came in to evict, I think 80% of the miners. But the problem is it takes time to rebuild institutions that were eroded for the past 4 years. It takes time to build the capacity, have the technical people come back, and have the like health workers being able to go back to the territory. So it's a difficult task. And we also need to be aware that Lula is, his government is a coalition government, and he is still heavily influenced by industries like agribusiness and the mining industry in general. So the sense I got from interviews in Boa Vista from people who live with this reality in Boa Vista, in Roraima, is that military operations are not the most effective way. They're very temporary because you're simple, it's simply impossible to station the military permanently in like with a very high capacity in such a massive territory. So whenever they leave, the miners come back. So Roraima's economy is very heavily dependent on natural resources, and mining, illegal gold mining, like fuels the local economy. So there's a lot of resistance to changing that activity. And if you don't provide alternative economic income, then it wouldn't make sense for people who are like poor, uneducated, and looking for opportunities to leave those mining operations.
Are there any resources that listeners can access to learn more about the conflicts in Brazil?
There are several NGOs that are like covering a lot of these crises. So Instituto Socioambiental is one of them. They are the expert in a lot of indigenous rights issues in Brazil. There are several Yanomami associations that do a lot of these organizing and reporting from within the territory. And I'm not sure if they have English resources, but you can always translate the website into English.
Do you have any final thoughts to leave with listeners, or anything that we didn't get to you that you want to mention?
As outsiders, like, may have a difficult time understand is the fact that economic opportunity for these people who are part of gold mining is like is really important. And we are talking about like 20,000 people in the Yanomami territory. Like if you're in Boa Vista and you talk to anyone, they have a relative working in the gold mines. So the scale of the problem is really massive, and it's there is no temporary and simple solution. Raising awareness of these issues and pressuring the right people to try to address it, and anything that reduces the impact should be welcome at this point, because it's there is not going to be an immediate solution. We need a lot of effort.
That concludes our first interview. Thank you, Flora, for the valuable insight. And now, on to the second interview.
I'm Hortensia Caballero Arias. I'm from Caracas, Venezuela. I'm an anthropologist, and I have been doing field research among the Yanomami for almost 3 decades. And the main topics that I have been working, it's on political anthropology, land demarcation issues among indigenous population. And right now, I have been more focused on the changes that indigenous people experience because different impact factors or impact drivers.
How do the relations between the government of Venezuela and the Yanomami people differ on the Venezuela side compared to that of Brazil?
There is a geopolitical issue or variable. For sure, is going to have an impact on how they treat the indigenous people. And besides that, well, you know, there are two different languages, Portuguese, Spanish, all these issues that are related to the what we call the state formation, of course, have an implications or effects on indigenous populations, because the spaces are governed in Brazil and it's different from Venezuela, because there are two different countries. For the Yanomami, of course, there is differences, because the Yanomami that live in Brazil, they have been involved with the culture and the language, and it's different from the Venezuelan side.
What's different in how Venezuela and Brazil interact with the Yanomami?
Okay, well, in the case of Brazil and the presence of the Brazilian state institutions, mainly the miners, it has been for a while. It's actually started at the beginning of the 1980s. There were probably around 50,000 gold miners in the area of Brazil. So that's a major impact. In the case of the Venezuelan, there is also, you know, some impact that started, you know, with this pressure at the border from Brazil. But I would say that, you know, the presence in Brazil have been constant since 1980s with back and forth. In Brazil, there was created what is called Territorio Indígena Yanomami, with Territorio Indígena. And in 1991, in Venezuela, there was created the Biosphere Reserve and a national park in Yanomami territory. So even though that there have been these two protected areas in Venezuela and also the protected area in Brazil, the miners and the impact is just there.
How do you perceive the humanitarian crisis, and what do you believe is the root cause of it?
Well, for the Yanomami, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, definitely. There is, again, a lot of impact on Yanomami. And that have been impacted, you know, the means of subsistence, even the way how they interact to forest, the environment, the landscape, the expansion of miners is going to be an impact on their ways of life. It's going to be an impact of how they just related to the forest.
According to the New York Times, the Yanomami people that are in need of hospitalization, they often receive care in Boa Vista, which is a city in Brazil that is near the border with Venezuela. Jair Bolsonaro failed to provide food, medicine, and help for the Yanomami people on the Brazil side, and insinuated that Nicolas Maduro had sent sick patients to Boa Vista in order to make him look bad. How do you interpret that statement?
Wow. Well, you know, the frontiers are very dynamic for the Yanomamis. Well, okay, first of all, I mean, those people that were in Boa Vista are the Yanomamis actually from Brazil. The Yanomami territory in Venezuela is really far away from Boa Vista. So I'm not sure, I mean, you know, could be like a misrepresentation about who are exactly the indigenous people. Could be the Yanomami, could be Pemón, could be another indigenous people, you know. So the Yanomamis that live really, you know, in the borders of Venezuela and Brazil, they go back and forth because there is no constraint for them, like, okay, this is Brazil, you know, and this is Venezuela. They don't have that. All of that is their forest where they have been living for years and centuries.
What steps do you think can be taken to end the illegal gold mining in the Yanomami Reservation?
It has to require political, you know, decisions. We need that finally the government, the state, that they just put together, you know, measures and really just consider that it's not just only distraction of resources from the Amazon. Is that there have to be policies that really have to be taking care of that.
With your work in Venezuela, do you think that the government has the initiative to be able to enact policies like that that can help the Yanomami people?
Well, they're trying. It's difficult to carry out because the whole crisis that we have, researchers and also policymakers and NGOs, is just to work with the communities in order to support them, in order to provide some different kind of, you know, tools so that they can really cope with this impact.
Are there any resources that listeners can access to learn more about the conflict?
Big NGOs are like Survival International, Amazon Rainforest. We also have a small NGO, I participate in a small NGO that is the Yanomami Foundation. There are several in Brazil that is Instituto Socioambiental.
And do you have any final thoughts to leave with listeners or anything that we didn't get to you that you want to mention?
Right now we are talking so much about climate change and, you know, and sometimes I see that climate change is too far away. And actually climate change is like a consequence of many activities that have been having an impact on the rainforest. So we have to really look at the of not just only the consequence, but the causes of this climate change.
And that wraps up our interview with Flora Yifan Ho and Hortensia Caballero Arias. Thank you for providing your time and insight for the development of this story. With KCSB News, this is Mario Fuentes Godinez.